Now, when things go well for BC sports, man, we got to jump into it. On today's show, baseball has a historic weekend with some big wins over UNC, while women's lacrosse, they stun the number one team in the country and earn the co-ACC championship. We're going to get into all of this and more on today's Locked On BC.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On BC. I am your host, AJ Black. I'm the editor and publisher of Eagle Insider. Before we jump into everything, I want to thank the 1,000 subscribers out there that have subscribed to our YouTube channel. Thank you all so much. We did this faster than I could have ever dreamed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And this is going to be a special episode. This will be a fun one. As we're going to get into the good stuff, as this was a very, very positive weekend for BC sports. But before I do that, let me tell you, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get it started. All right, this weekend, BC baseball. We'll kick it off with baseball first. They were falling, you know, the season was starting to go off the rails a little bit. We just saw it earlier this week. UConn comes in. Not only does UConn beat BC, but they mercy ruled them. That's not a good sign, right? Like when you get mercy ruled, the weekend before you were swept by Louisville, things were starting to look like maybe, you know, this team wasn't going to be as special as we had thought it was going to be for a while now. That being said, they had a huge series this weekend going down to Chapel Hill. And why was this such a big deal? Well, you figured, okay, they just lost, what, 4 in a row. You're going to Chapel Hill. You have never won a game in Chapel Hill. Let me repeat that again. Boston College has never won a game in Chapel Hill. Just let that sink in for a second while I tell you what happened this weekend. So you're up against it, against a team that has owned your butt for years, and you go in there the first game you go in, you're behind, and you have a huge rally. You come back and you win in extra innings. You score on a home run in the ninth inning. You give it right back up to tie it, and then you score two more runs in the 10th inning. Again, wow. Your first ever home win against UNC. Win in Chapel Hill. Ever. First win. The second game, you go down early again. You're down 2-1. UNC's pitcher has your name. But again, Chris Flynn, who in this game wasn't like super special, because he got himself, like, his kind of MO has been, he gets himself in these really bad jams and then gets himself out of it. He got himself out of a bases loaded jam with no outs, and then got out of another jam with bases loaded by only letting in one run. And then what happens in the top of the eighth? Cam Leary hits a grand slam to put BC on top. Then the Eagles score four more runs in the top of the ninth, and they put away UNC and win 9-4. Again, big hits in the bottom of the ninth by Roche. I think it was, I don't have it in front of me right here. Sorry, yeah, I do. Sam McNulty and Travis Honeyman. So they score, you know, what was it? Eight runs in the last two innings. Again, magical play right here. Again, they've won the series. You're feeling good at this point, right? BC, just winning a game against UNC would have been a big deal. They've won two now. And you're like, okay, they've won the series. Sunday, whatever. What happens on Sunday? Well, they get another great start. This time by by John West and Eric Schroeder, who led up between the two of them only two earned runs in seven innings. Again, defense, not letting runs score when there was runners on base. And they go up in the fifth inning, they tie it. And then the seventh inning, they get three runs on a sac fly by Leary, a single by Guzman, a single by Cimini. And then, a fly out sac fly by Mercado. And then at the top of the eighth, Travis Honeyman hits another two run home run. They win 6-2. Folks, BC, who had never won a game against UNC, goes in there and they sweep the Tar Heels. UNC was ranked 18th in the country. They were basically tied in the standings. If there was any game that put BC back on the map, that got them that any scenario that could have got them back into all the projections at the end of the year, this was it, folks. They needed this win. You know, they're second in the ACC Atlantic. They're never going to catch Wake Forest. Wake Forest is a juggernaut right now. But Clemson's starting to nip at their heels, and they get Clemson at home next week. BC, you know, what they just did was magical, is what I'm getting at here. What they did was something very un-Boston College. This was something you don't expect from Boston College in any sport. We've lived and breathed Boston College athletics. Unless it's hockey, you've seen teams just falter when things start to get like this. You don't see teams pick, especially a team like baseball, a team that has been historically, you know, near the bottom of the ACC. Last year, they were horrible. I wouldn't even cover them on this because I didn't want to depress all of you guys because they lost so much. But this is a very different team. Now, they go, this series has probably, you know, cemented them, because after the loss to UConn, I was thinking, okay, they're going to lose to UNC a few games. They're going to get knocked out of the top 25. Nope. They're going to go right back up. This is going to help all of their, you know, projections for the postseason. It's going to help them in the top 25. A sweep of UNC. UNC is a national powerhouse every single year in baseball. They always produce MLB level talent. They are a national contender. They are very, very good. And BC won three games in a row. And they did it in all sorts of different ways. They're not the prettiest team out there. Their pitching can be frustrating at times and their hitting can disappear. But man, BC does it when they need to do it, and they won. So what comes up next for BC? They get URI this week. Hopefully that'll be a win. Then they have, I have it in front of me, pull it up, UMass Lowell on Wednesday. So get two midweek games. You hope that they just pull through and win both of those. URI's on the road. Then they have a three-game set against Clemson next weekend. Folks, I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to go to the Sunday game, I think. I'm going to take my son to it because he had a blast going to it last time. As long as the weather's good. This is a series, again, last weekend when I went during the spring football game, there were upwards of 3,000 fans at that baseball game. This team program has come such a long way from, what was it, 10 years ago when you were watching baseball from the concrete ramp to Beacon Street Garage. You had to stand that, or the metal crappy bleachers. Very different experience. I hope folks get to these games because this is a fun team. They need the support. And as they said against Duke, the fans there do make a difference. So hopefully we'll check that out. Now, in a moment, I'm going to get into women's lacrosse. And I want to talk a little bit about what this team has been doing and where they're going. Because, again, a team that has been the epitome of excellence are playing their best game right now heading into the postseason. We'll get into that in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to tell you all about our good old friends over at FanDuel. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of the NBA and for MLB too. With grand slams, no hitters, and double plays, they're back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Place your first bets and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. You can do anything. If you think that Rafael Devers is going to hit a home run, or total bases for Rafael Devers, or, I mean, I like Rafael Devers, so I'm going to tell you all the prop bets on him. Or if you just think the Red Sox are going to win, you can go there and you can find all those bets on FanDuel. So don't miss your chance to get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. All you do is go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of MLB. This is Locked On BC. I am your host, AJ Black. And again, 1,000 subs on YouTube. Thank you all so much. For all of you that were early listeners, and I got a few out there, Bruce McLaren, Frank Ryan, you know, our usual guys that are out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I want to get into women's lacrosse. And I got some crap online late last week when I didn't mention this game. Now, on Thursday night, BC women's lacrosse played Syracuse in a game that was played while I was recording. Now, I mentioned the game. I even mentioned an update on stats that they were losing when I talked about it. But I can't, like, someone was like, why didn't you talk about the game? I was like, well, I was recording when the game was being played. And unfortunately, I have other jobs and things I got to do, and I can't just wait and record it, like, you know, 10 or 11 after a game ends, especially for something that's not something I really cover. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't cover women's lacrosse. This is not going to be a segment where I get into the ins and outs of women's lacrosse. I don't cover them. I do enjoy watching them, but I don't know much about it. I don't even know the positions in lacrosse. I just know BC has a very good team. And on Thursday night, women's lacrosse won their seventh straight game, which in itself is a big deal. They play a pretty truncated season, right? Their seasons are not like a huge, they only played 16 games, but they've won seven in a row and they haven't lost at home, but they went on the road and they played the number one team in the country, Syracuse. And why was this ended up being a monumental win for the ladies, as they came from behind on the road against an undefeated Syracuse team to win 17-16. Okay. And with this win, they became ACC co-regular season champions and the top seed in the women's lacrosse championship. This was a big deal because Syracuse had a 5-goal lead 5 different times during this game. And then with like 8 minutes left, it was all Boston College. BC just jumped out and scored 5 of the last 6 goals and put this game away. And so, you know, shout out to Bell Smith, who started the run, Courtney Weeks, who had some big shots at the end. And then it was McKenna Davis. I want to make sure I got her name right, who hit the game winning goal to win it. You know, a lot was made of this team when Charlotte North was here because she was an otherworldly talent. She had some really talented players around her. You know, there some of the girls that are there right now, Jen Majid's there, and some McKenna Davis. These players were all there when Charlotte was there too. It feels like they don't get the credit that they deserve, that, you know, when Charlotte was there. But this team is playing exceptionally well right now. 7 wins in a row. And they're heading into the ACC tournament. And I don't have, let me see if I can schedule who they're playing against. They're playing Duke. They play number 9 Duke on Wednesday in Charlotte, North Carolina. So that's going to be a big game for them. But, you know, I don't expect baseball to win the ACC championship. Remember, BC has not won an ACC championship since being part of the conference. It would be really cool if it was the women's lacrosse team. And this is a group that really deserves it. Cause I also want to give just like a small story. When I was at the spring football game, there were 2 teams I saw, and it was because of the schedule. I saw tons of uniforms for us. So obviously a lot of football uniforms, but there were a ton of kids there wearing women's lacrosse jerseys. I saw Charlotte North jerseys. I saw Bell Smith. Just BC women's lacrosse jerseys. It is a huge sport right now. This is a sport that deserves a lot of attention And I know I don't give it a lot of attention, and I own that. I do mention them when I can, but I think this is going to be a fun period again. This is hardware season for these folks. This is trophy time. Can the women bring home the ACC championship? They're going to probably be, I saw someone put up, the number two team in the country behind Northwestern heading into next week. They are very much on track to potentially make it to another title game. They're deep. They're talented. They're playing the best lacrosse of the year right now. And so we'll have to wait and see. So hopefully on Wednesday, if folks are looking for something to watch, that game will be televised. It's going to be, doesn't have it announced yet. It's probably going to be on ACC Network or ACC Network Extra. So you can put it there. Okay. Now in our final segment, I want to get into, and I apologize, I had the wrong picture up. I was just looking at stats while I was talking. In our final segment, our user asked a question about Quinton Post and Earl Grant. And I want to get into a question that he brought up, whether Earl Grant is too reliant on, is BC a product of Earl Grant or a product of just Quinton Post being the man? We'll get into that in just a moment. This is Locked On BC, AJ Black. Thank you all again for listening. Thank you all who have subscribed. I love you all. If you are an everydayer, thank you so much. This is a new term that we're using throughout the Locked On Network, and I'm digging it. Everydayers are those guys and gals that listen to our Locked On shows every single day. I bet you guys are out there. I know a bunch of you are. If you're an everydayer, shout it out in the comment section. You guys are all awesome. And this is, you're the reason I do it, and the reason I still have a job. I don't do this just so I can hear myself talk. I want to make sure that you guys get all the information. You guys get some really interesting things to talk about and keep Boston College in the forefront, because that's, I cover the team. Someone was asking me about this the other day. They're like, why are you a fan charging behind a paywall for my site? I'm like, I'm not a fan. Well, I am a fan, but my force first and foremost is I cover the team, right? If you go to Eagle Insider, you get all the top recruiting news. Between me and Mitch, you're going to get all the football stuff. And on this podcast, I give you the analysis and information. And I like to do it, if this is your first time listening, I don't want to sound like no offense to some journalists, but they sound like a robot, like reading off like press releases, basically, when they're on a podcast. Boring. I'm not getting into that, right? That is not what I'm here to do. I'm here to give you some life, to give you something fun to talk about, and I hope you enjoy it. We are over 600 episodes now. Now, part of doing this is I get lots of questions, and I want to shout out my man Josh, who shot me a message, and I totally forgot to respond to it, and he asked me this question, and I want to get to it. He said, AJ, thanks for all your hard work. Love the daily podcast. As much as I've enjoyed the enthusiasm about BC basketball these past few weeks. This was back in March. Again, I'm sorry, Josh. Impressive wins and even got themselves into discussion about the postseason. Yesterday's game demonstrates what I feared the most, that Earl Grant is not, in fact, building a program, but the team is entirely reliant on one player. And when that one player leaves to pursue NIL money next year or to the NBA in 2 years, the team is going to be terrible. We'd love to hear you discuss your thoughts on Monday's show. Thanks, Josh. Cheers, Josh. So what I wanted to get to here is that thought, because I think it's a really interesting thought, right? We saw last year, without Quinton Post, BC basketball was bad. Just frankly, they were bad, right? They lost to UNH. They lost to Maine. They lost to Tarleton State. The offense was completely disjointed. They were a bit of a mess. He comes back and everything gets better. And I think Josh brings up a really good point here. And one that I'm contemplating, and I'm not sure how to answer it yet, is BC a complete team or a team that's going to be built directly by Earl Grant? Or are they just a product of Quinton Post? And when they leave again, they're just going to fall back to the bottom of the conference. So, Mike, my thought when I looked at this question is looking at what Quinton posts and looking at, are there other guys that will be able to do that at the level he does when he leaves? He's not the biggest. I mean, he's big. So he's a 7-foot center that shoots. You're not going to find another one on that roster that's going to be a big center that's going to shoot three-pointers. That's not going to be. I mean, first of all, that's going to be a part of this game that you're going to have to really search for to find someone who can do that. But finding someone who could shoot three-pointers, I think they have some guys that can do that. Donald Hand really is going to be that guy. And hopefully if Jaden Zachary can be more consistent in 2023, and you know, he had his times, but there are times where he didn't look the same as he did the year before. But he, you know, he was a pretty good three-point shooter his freshman year. You've got some guys there that can shoot. Donald Hand, you missed all of last year, so we didn't get a chance to see that. To be frank, I'm not sure how much we're going to see him in the beginning of next year. He's coming back from a pretty severe injury, and I'm not sure how long that will take for him to come back. So that's one piece there. Defensively and rebounding, I think he's replaceable. I don't think he's the big, he's good on defense. I don't want to give him any crap for that, but I'm a big fan of Devin McLaughlin. And I think some of the guys that they're bringing in, guys like Armani Mighty, Jalen Hastings, Elijah Strong, are going to be, give you different aspects of what Post does. I think Hastings and Mighty will give you the defensive piece plus what Post had. I think they'd be better than Post defensively. And I think Strong could give you be a plus in offense, not to the level of what Post does, but I think he'll give you more on the offensive side of the ball. I think this team, the biggest worry I have when Post leaves is who's going to be your go-to scorer. I think the guy will be Donald Hand, with, you know, a guy like Devin McLaughlin kind of really, you know, evolving into more of a scorer down low. But it is a concern. And so to answer Josh's question, I honestly don't know. And I'm going to have to wait and see. And I think it's a valid question to ask. I think it's something we're going to have to wait until after Post leaves to see how this roster is constituted, to see if this offense just completely goes off the rail like it did here, or if really there are pieces there that just needed to develop that will bring this team to that next level. But again, that'll be a question we'll have to wait and see, because I'm not sure. I could make an argument either way. And I kind of just did. So that's my thoughts there. But great question. If you have questions, hit me up on Twitter. Put them to me in my DMs at AJBlack_BC. I don't have the blue check mark anymore. I honestly don't care. But you can find me. I mean, not hard to find. I got like, you know, 8,200 followers or something like that. Find me there. Last quick news break for you is that TJ Bickerstaff, former BC forward, just transferred to James Madison. So it'll be his third school. He came from seasons at BC, and he's going to James Madison. BC has one more scholarship to use. I haven't heard them linked to anybody. So Trey White, a 6'7 wing from U.S. Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. Sorry, I was having a little technical difficulty there. He has like 20 other on his list, so I'm not sure where that is. Now, I'm going to wrap you all so much for listening. Thank you again. Hit that button. Hit the like button on this video if you liked it. We'll see you again soon. Take care.